Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
I knew a girl in college that did that. That like she didn't want to do laundry or know how to do it. So she just would constantly buy new clothing and like get rid of her dirty stuff.
I mean, I've never known anybody that's done that, but I've heard stories, you know, and that's just like, why? Why would you do that? I've also heard tales of people who like they have a whole year's worth of clothes, so they're never wearing the same clothes.
Again, heck, do you keep that amount of clothing?
You have a whole room.
Yeah, you kick out your significant other. I guess I don't know. They don't get
the closet
other stuff. I don't know.
Listen,
they have a whale amount of clothes. I guess.
Who wants to talk about whale tits? I know Chuck does.
Chuck definitely wants to talk about the whale tits.
If I could,
you could,
because. This movie unlocked, by the way, brothers, sisters, gender resistors, welcome to another episode of the Comic Book Rundown Presents Rundown Reviews. I, of course, am the guy that did this introduction. I am Chuck. I'm joined once again by Ron and by Joe, the guy who actually owns this show. And my personal favorite person of the best network ever created in the entire world, my close personal friend and nobody else's, Chris, welcome back to the show. It's a Star Trek episode, so obviously we had to bring you on to mainly pad the score, if I had to guess. That's why Joe brings you on. Because otherwise, it would get
he's out of line, wrong. But he's not wrong.
Yeah. You know. When I was in seventh grade, we had a social studies teacher who we all assumed was pretty mentally ill in a lot of regards. Strange dude. Really liked to take psychedelics, we figured out. Was very, very attuned to his heritage of being Native American in our area. We have a quite large reserve. I cannot think of what the tribe's called now. But it was very in tune. And he would take us to the reenactment place where he would also participate, and he'd walk around in a loincloth in front of 7-year-olds, which seemed really weird at the time. But a lot of people just wrote it off to him and his authenticity. And one time, a student asked, and I want to say his last name was Johnson, "Mr. Johnson, do you believe in aliens?" And his reply was, "Well, of course I believe in aliens. How do you think we got whales here?" And it was not until this moment in time where I realized that he was not mentally ill. He was just a Star Trek fan.
Is there a difference?
Hold on. It's a very, very fine, very fine line, I have learned, apparently.
Also not wrong.
This broke my brain for like a hot, because I was unaware of what this movie actually was. But at the treadmill, at the gym, them pretty much bringing up that whales were brought here by aliens or something, and that unlocking this memory in my brain, I almost fell off the treadmill. I literally tripped and almost fell off. We watched Star Trek episode four.
Bitches be tripping, I guess. I don't know.
Bitches do be tripping. I tell you what. You know? I tell you. Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. That's for sure. And I be a hoe and a trick.
Star Trek episode four, The Voyage Home.
Also known as Star Trek IV, The One with Whales.
Yep. Also known as Star Trek IV, everything has Leonard Nimoy's name on it.
Yeah, because he did everything in this movie.
He directed it. He produced it. He executive directed it. He executive produced it. He starred in it. He also executive star direct produced it. And, like, dude, his name was like 70% of the credits going through.
That is a thank you from Paramount for how successful Star Trek 3 was. And and apparently, what was it? Shatner didn't want to come back. He wanted more money, as did all the cast. So you know what Paramount did instead, besides pay them? They just said, let's get a new thing together. So when this stuff peters out and we're not willing to pay their salaries, we have a new cheaper cast. And that's how The Next Generation was started during the production of this.
Brilliant.
Mark did not know that.
Yep. So it premiered 1987 and as a result of everyone demanding too much money.
That's awesome. So. That's awesome. I like that.
And, I mean, our generation, that's Paramount for you. Companies for you. But, I mean, our generation, like I was talking with Ron about this last night, like, we're the ones that grew up with The Next Generation. Mm-hmm. That was our Star Trek. Yeah. Now, funny enough, like, I haven't seen all of Next Generation. I've seen episodes here and there.
Same. That's how I watched it. But that's also, I think, what made it appeal to me the most was that I didn't get too deep into it.
Well, plus there were also full, 42-minute episodes versus the 20-something that we had from the original series. So they could actually develop and build a story.
Mm-hmm. And it was very episodic. I wouldn't recommend it. If people want to get into that, just trudge through first two seasons, and then it'll actually start getting better. Chuck will actually watch it all for you and do a new podcast about it.
At the end of every month, of course, we have the new show called Getting Franchised, where Joey and I will be reviewing season 6. We'll push it to season 6. We'll watch the entire Next Generation seasons.
Oh God! Okay, that's gonna be something.
That's gonna be fun.
Let's see if we remember it.
We won't. We won't watch them canonically, though. Chronically. What's the word I'm looking for?
Chronologically.
Thank you. We won't watch them chronologically. I will look up a list of, like, this is the way you should watch it, much like people do with Star Wars and the episodes and stuff, where it's all over the place.
So you're referring more to watching it, chronologically would be the watching it.
Right. We're not going to watch it that way. We're not going to watch it in order. We're going to watch, like, these are the episodes that we recommend the order in which you watch them. So we get all the best ones. And then by the end of the season, we just hate ourselves because they're all just the crap episodes that nobody wanted to watch.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. God. Do not look forward to that.
That sounds terrible.
That also sounds like 5 years away, and I'll probably forget it.
Joey, cover your ears for a minute. Guys, all this show ain't going to go for 60 seasons. What the fuck are you talking about?
Hold on now.
Hey, listen, I'll have you know that the comic book rundown has been going strong for, 8 years now?
Yeah.
Strong is a relative word.
Hey, we still have a pulse. Where's everybody else at?
No, I just meant specifically Getting Franchised. Look, I made a pot pie today that I used an entire half, like, one stick of butter. I'm here for a good time, not for a long time.
Can we get your headset and your skull though?
Oh, I have always said that if I die,
Joey can just set it on his hand and talk like it's you talking.
Yeah, I've always said that I wanted to be donated to science because I figured they're gonna want to get in there and look around. But my head, I wanted to be loaded into a cannon and shot out into sea, because I just think it would look cool to see my, like, flaming head fly out into the sunset. But if Joey wants the skull, so he has to, like, post-mortem still make me do this show, I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'll
allow it. All right. I'll write that in next year's contract.
Gentlemen, boys and girls.
So let's go ahead and get into this.
I didn't have a father.
you really want me to hit that soundbite again? I will. No problem with it.
All right.
Anyway, so Star Trek episode 4. This one,
this episode. This was a heist movie.
It was.
Yes.
It was a poorly planned heist movie.
Definitely poorly planned. However, it did have a. The story was a little more sound than the last couple of episodes.
That's a real movie. That's a really low bar.
Sure,
jump over there.
But I mean, even at that, like, there still were some problems with it, but I definitely had a little more fun with this one. Not a lot.
Sure. First off, the movie starts with a we want to send our thoughts and prayers to the people of the Challenger.
Yeah.
Of course. Because
which
again,
that threw me off like crazy, because I was like, I forgot that that was even a thing. Yeah.
But it also started out with another basically no-name crew getting destroyed by a random...
Not destroyed, just, you know, becoming inoperable.
You know, life support, sure they don't need it.
No, they didn't.
Huh?
They didn't die.
Are you sure?
Because everything...
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, to the point of we didn't see bodies, I don't think anyone ever said, did anyone check on them? Did anyone...
That's because they weren't the crew of the Enterprise, so nobody cared about them.
It's true. That's
not wrong on that.
I mean, even when the Klingon ambassador, when they're talking about, like, dude, you took out one of our ships, you know, and then you're saying that Kirk wasn't justified in going after your, you know, Klingon warmongers. And he's like, well, that's not the point. The point is.
Yeah. That was interesting. That's also very normal for, you know, ambassadors, especially Klingons. Like, oh yeah, we're allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do it to us, kind of thing. Don't know what that sounds
logic.
Like. Yeah.
I'll be honest. I mean, listening to the Klingons, like, kind of go to the council and stuff, I was kind of on the Klingon side about this.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, the charges are all valid that they've been brought against the crew. I mean, they all really in the end rest on Kirk, and yes, they're following their captain or their admiral's orders, but you know, it all stems from him.
Yeah, 100%. maybe it's just because I have a personal vendetta against Kirk's, but I was just kind of like, no, I kind of don't. I think they're kind of right in this one. Like, maybe they're not going about it the right way.
Yeah,
but actually they are because they went to the council. They didn't just like, fuck it, we're just going to manhunt and not follow rules.
But that was after, what's his name, killed a whole ship and then killed another guy on that planet, Kirk's son, to try and get this weapon. Then they're like, oh, we should probably...
But Batman does it and it's okay.
Did I ever say it was okay? I've never said it was okay.
Joey, you have a tattoo of Batman. It counts. So you think you think that they're all good people.
A tattoo of my dead parents. You got to talk about my dead parents killing people?
Joey, there was good people on both sides. Remember? Never forget that, okay?
Okay.
We know how much you look up to that, okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, boy.
Joey does not look up to that. This is my one disclaimer of episode. Joey does not look up to that. He's not a pedophile. He isn't into interspecies erotica. And although Kirk did want to fuck that whale, right? We all in agreement that Kirk wanted to fuck the whale?
I was pretty sure he wanted to fuck, what's his name?
But well, yeah, duh, obviously. Yeah. No.
With the whale?
No. Okay. The way he was watching Gracie specifically, I think he was trying to fuck the whale. It wouldn't be the first time he fucked an alien.
He may have confused the blowhole for something else.
I thought it was more Spock. Wow. But okay.
I mean, Spock was just talking, you know?
You know what you came into when you got to the show, Chris?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, oh, that's the thing. Spock isn't even human anymore in this, except for like the very tail end where he...
Sort of human again.
Has to guess or whatever, and
he's unsure of his feelings because he doesn't know what they mean again. Because you know he needed to reboot his character.
Right.
But I fell asleep very early on.
Location and reboot.
I fell asleep very early on in this movie, and I woke up, and Kirk was talking about humpback whales and time travel and flying around the sun. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second. This has got to be some kind of weird joke, or I like missed something. Went back, and it still didn't make sense, but I get it.
Yeah. So did you? Because even I was like, I don't understand how we got here. How did we get from point A to point B? That like that
in the 80s, killing whales was a really big thing that they were really like working on. So that was what they grasped as the message they were going to send with this movie.
Yeah, and the big ecological time at this point in the 80s. I mean, look at the quest for peace.
Exactly, with all the nuclear weapons.
And nobody still got it.
Well,
I mean, think about it. Nuclear weapons, they're still hunting whales on a regular basis. Like, whale hunting hasn't actually stopped.
40 years later for both those, and everything's still happening exactly the same way.
Yep. So. Thanks a lot, Shatner.
Chris, I do want to ask, because I know you haven't, if you have seen the original show, it's been a while, but when did they go back in time in the show? Because it sounded like they did it before.
A few times. Give me a second.
Oh, okay. You don't have to ask. I was thinking more off the top of your head, not like.
No, I wouldn't know it quickly off the top of my head. Okay. But give me a minute. I'll let you know.
Because I recall one episode. I think it was one of the times when my dad was watching it, and I just happened in on him at one point in time. And like, I remember Spock being in this room reading a book, and he had his head covered with like a beanie hat. And then Kirk had come in, and he was unsure if he could take his hat off or not. But because at one point, when they're talking to, what was her name? I can't remember her name. Gail? No.
You talking about the
lady from Seventh Heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Chucky's mom? Or Andy's mom.
Andy's mom.
She may be holding the record for She may be holding the record for most times on like that we've watched.
Oh God, no. We've got more. I'd have to look. But we
women of female actresses?
I have to check, but I feel like we've had.
Yeah, you're gonna need to do that and get back to me, please.
Eventually.
Right, give me a rundown.
The three that came to my mind, there may be more. It took me a minute. Just the one I remembered was like City on the Edge of Forever.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Yesterday and All Our Yesterdays. Time travel is big in Star Trek. They like, that's why at one point way, way later on, there was something called the Temporal Wars, and there's like a prime directive in the sense of like it became so prominent travel back in time, the Starfleet had to create a rule on the sense of if you do time travel, this is what you are allowed and not allowed to do.
Okay. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love a good time travel story as long as you don't mess it up, mess up the timeline kind of thing, or basically create a paradox.
This would be a good one for Chuck. The Naked Time's another one, you know?
Oh, me.
This crew right here, though, had no sense of preserving the timeline at all.
And that's what I'm saying. Because what do we get Scotty and Bones going over to some construction place, which apparently the good old safety videos be damned. They were just being carried on the forks, being driven around.
Well, that was in the 80s. That was normal.
That's when the safety videos were being made because of things like that, yes. But yeah, those guys in particular have this new guy create this
he didn't create it. They gave him the formula to make the clear aluminum, I think is what they called it.
It wasn't called clear aluminum, it was something aluminum.
What was it?
Transparent
was,
aluminum?
Transparent aluminum.
There you go.
You know what transparent means, Joey?
I do know what transparent means. He was a guy on the boys. He didn't last long.
He was see-through, Joey. He was clear somewhat.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, just in case you were getting confused.
Anyway.
In case that wasn't clear.
As aluminum.
Got him!
Wow. Why do I have you two on again?
Because you love us.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. I'm sorry. This is
I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, those two. They gave the guy the formula, and he ends up creating it because they have it by the end, I think.
Well, no. They used the regular plexiglass that he had.
Oh, okay.
They gave him the formula in exchange for the plexiglass
that
they needed for
what it was. Okay, to build the little
Aquarium, but even like Bones is like, well, didn't you just ruin like that? And he's like, well, what if this is the guy that was supposed to create it anyways, and like this is how he learned how to create it?
But that's a paradox.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he doesn't know. They said, how do we know he didn't create it? I was like, that's kind of a big deal, but all right, yeah, whatever, we'll go with it.
And then Chekhov being arrested and then disappearing.
Yeah. Well, he didn't disappear. He got stolen.
But he's in the system. That's all I'm saying is
yeah,
they had to look him up. So then he's here 1 minute and then disappears the next.
Right? And you'd think that, like, in the future, they would be like, oh, Chekhov, why does that name sound so familiar? And then, you know, go through the archives. Eventually somebody would find it because of the way our culture is.
Well, our culture now, not the culture in the 23rd century.
I mean, they have to go through us to get there.
I mean, it's also very interesting. Let's put the Russian on a United States naval vessel during the height of the Cold War.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Yeah. This entire movie.
Remember, the S is silent.
My bad.
Yeah, nuclear. Yeah, nuclear Johnson. That's a Deadlock reference. Sorry. The boys are back in town. What can we say? Chris, in about a month, that's going to make a lot more sense to you. Okay. So this entire movie's whole like vibe is like weirdly reverse, like because they went back in time, but it's boomers don't understand the generation. Like the next generation, because it's just like, I don't understand why they act like this. Why are they so crude? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? Like, I more and more understand why this version of Star Trek fans are so conservative based in like the lens of 2025, like current day lens, right? Because like, all of the stuff that they watched and have consumed and absorbed and decided to make their entire identities is just like the same crap that like I hear from like the boomer generation and the much later like Gen X generation of stuff. And just like, oh, they don't know anything. Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, they don't do it this way. Blah, blah, blah. Like it was just, I don't know, like with them making fun of Spock the whole time. Of just being like a hippie religious dude, which just like just screamed like not understanding like Gen Z's like freedom feeling and stuff like that that I see a lot. It's super, or what we experienced in like our emo phase of like the millennials. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. It was just a cheap shot and groan like at like every joke. You know what I mean?
Well, I think I'm not justifying it. I from what I remember when they were going into production with this, that they felt the last two movies were a little heavy and they wanted to, because, I mean, really, there's not, I mean, outside of Kirk, who's always the bad guy, the secret bad guy in all these movies, let's be honest, there really isn't a true evil, like, thing they're working against, because the alien ship that's wrecking havoc on the future Earth, they're just trying to communicate. They have no idea what they're the havoc they're causing, which begs the question in sense of like when they're doing this, don't they see what's going on to the planet? What kind of aliens are these?
Maybe it was a recorded message and it like was waiting for a return reply.
Maybe who knows?
Maybe.
So the aliens that show, because we never actually did, we actually ever get to see the aliens?
No.
Big old time right. Wall ship.
Okay. So that was my other question. Was the giant like elongated thing the ship, or was it that? Okay. And then what was that like blue, like the glowing orb thing? Yeah.
That was like the transmitter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. They didn't explain any of that, so I had no idea what was going on.
Nope.
I was very confused. I was waiting to see space whales. Like I thought they were literally whales. I thought we were going to see organic flying ships. I thought we were going to get Starship Troopers. I'll be honest, I thought I was going to get Starship Troopers now.
If you want to see organic flying whales, I think that's one of the Star Wars
Troopers. That movie rocks.
Yeah, it's my second favorite movie of all time, Chris. Like I'm very excited that it got into the list.
It's on the list. Yeah, it's on the list.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. What did you say there, Ron? Sorry, we were talking all over each other.
Oh, I said that if you wanted to see the organic flying whales in space, I think there's a Star Wars cartoon episode about it.
Not only the cartoon, I think they were in Ahsoka as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm so tapped out on Star Wars at this point. There's too much. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, but Andor's back.
Yeah, I'm going to cut my arm off. Just I don't want to be a fan anymore. I'm just going to cut my arm off.
I mean, if you do, I'll put it on the list.
I actually think cutting your arm off makes you a diehard fan. Luke, Anakin.
No, that's his hand. They didn't cut the arm off. Well, Anakin definitely got his arm cut off. My bad. A couple times.
Yeah. I do love those movies. Okay, I'll keep my arm.
Your arm's like, oh, thank God.
Listen, getting it cut off wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Oh, no, that's my good arm. Okay, now I better keep it. I'm going to have to learn how to do everything with my other hand.
Anyway, I do want to bring up the punk guy on the bus, mainly because, Chris, and you can fill in the blanks on this one, he showed up again in Picard.
Yes, he did, because, like with everything, as I say, time travel is a big part of Star Trek. In second season of Picard, they travel back into San Francisco again, this hodgepodge crew that Jean-Luc has assembled, and happens to see this same, and it's the same actor, too, on the bus as well. They were able to dig him up.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like the picture I saw was like he saw something and he's like, yeah. Or like he remembered past. And he's like, I will definitely turn this off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just got to look. You just got to give a look. And there you are.
See, look, but he learned.
Exactly.
Exactly. Isn't that what
character
we want?
Character growth. Yeah, we always want character growth.
I just find it funny that I find it awesome that they were able to get the same guy too, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right, so I mentioned Chekhov earlier. When he is trying to escape the vessel, he falls over like one of the sides. He fell like what? Maybe two stories, 20 feet or something.
Oh, rough.
Give or take, yeah.
Roughly. And they were acting like he was about ready to die.
Well, he landed on his head, so luckily his body made the fall okay.
Oh, okay. I guess that tracks.
That's true.
Yeah, isn't that how that works? I'm pretty sure. That works.
I've seen people jump off of their roofs and land on their bodies and be okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where the dude?
Have you never seen parkour? Wrap? He just parkoured himself. He just barely taps and then rolls and he's fine.
Well, he didn't roll though. He hit. He smacked.
Well, we don't know that. We just saw the end result. We didn't get to see him fall. For all we know, he went into a roll because he was doing parkour, and when he rolled through it, he slipped and smacked his head.
You know, key part of parkour is you have to say parkour as you're doing it, or else it doesn't work.
If you don't know it's parkour, if he doesn't say parkour.
Well, that was before they named it parkour.
Mm. Right. But he's from the future where he would have known that it was called parkour.
Now, see, they lost that, kind of like...
They lost that. Yeah.
Well, remember, even if you hit your head really hard against things or someone slams it against a fridge or a side of a table, you just get a black eye and come back and you're alive. Joe will know what that means.
I understood that reference. Thanks,
Cap.
Also, the size of the Klingon ship was definitely not consistent.
It was like the TARDIS. The inside was way bigger than the outside.
No, I'm talking about the outside. The outside was not big.
That's what I'm saying.
At the very beginning, when all of the Vulcans are like reloading it and do everything, like they are half the ship. Like their size to the ship wasn't right. And then by the very end, when the ship is flying to stop the whalers, it is like three times the size of that boat that they're on. So either Vulcans
are bigger
than normal. So
you remember the technology that Krang had inside the robot thing where he could make it grow and shrink? Klingons got that and put it in their kit.
Okay. That
good old Klingons.
Makes so much more sense somewhere.
They cling.
I thought it was interesting that they used still shots for like the wide ship. Like when they were like repairing the ship or whatever to get it to go and everything, it was like a very like painted picture.
I think it was a green screen that they just put the ship on, and then they had a set of stairs that led behind the green screen.
Right, but like when it was super wide, you could see like little people moving. It was very clear that it was a green screen, but like they would show the whole mosaic. Yeah, it was like a mosaic painting.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
Yeah, but it was totally right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it's also not unheard of. Like there's, I feel like we've seen a few different movies do that already, but especially in the, I feel like in the 80s they did that a lot.
Yeah, to try and probably cut down on cost. Well, cut down on cost, and also it was probably 1,000 times easier to do it that way. And also, technology in high definition didn't exist. You know what I mean? So like it did not stick out as bad. Watching professional wrestling from the 90s, it is amazing how terrible it looked because it was all shot for like a tiny little like TV, like 13-inch television. Yeah, yeah. And now you take all that old stuff and you make it in high definition, and it looks like you can see all the bells and whistles. You know what I mean? Like it looks terrible.
That's really more just TV in general from the 90s, because I've gone back and seen, like, I mean, if we were to rewatch any of the actual Star Trek show or even Next Generation, like it's the leather box. Oh, well, actually, I'm rewatching Smallville right now, and those first couple of seasons were like leather boxed on the sides, and it was not great. It doesn't hold up.
It's very strange. It's very strange.
Yeah. Ron, you got anything else?
Oh, I've got a lot of notes.
Okay, go ahead, because I've basically done.
When they are building the tank inside the ship, right, and the helicopter comes and drops off the plexiglass that Sulu stole.
Yeah.
And What's-Her-Face is outside yelling. Now, there's a helicopter right above Scotty's head.
Mm-hmm.
Helicopters are loud.
A little bit.
She is down on the ground. He hears her, but Kirk, who is standing right, like, 10 feet away from the intercom that is blasting her, yelling and banging and on the side of the thing, didn't hear her until after Scotty said, "Hey, Cat or Admiral, we've got a company."
He's got great hearing because he's in the engine room constantly, so his hearing is very acute.
No, he has very selective hearing. He was too focused on trying to bang whatever girl he was talking to in that moment that nothing else mattered around him.
Okay.
And then when he realized, that there was somebody else trying to get his attention who also had a vagina, he then could magically hear her. I'm pretty sure
I thought that was the girl he was trying to bang, though.
No, yeah, but there might have been somebody else inside the ship at that point in time.
Right, there was somebody else inside the ship. I think it was like probably Uhura or something he was trying to slam it.
No.
He may have been sitting there thinking about the whales, too.
I was going to say, it could have been the whales, too.
Okay, been the whales.
He did, again... Yeah. Widely known, Kirk does want to fuck a whale, so
yeah, he also said it top of the show, so
yeah, it's canon.
Yeah, we were just talking about the ship flying past the whaler vessel, right?
Yeah,
so with the like when you get the first person view of that, not only would they have hit the ship with their ship, but the blast from their thrusters would have thrown all of those guys off the ship like it was throwing all the shit around when they landed it in Central Park or wherever the hell they landed.
Yeah, not
Central Park.
Whatever Golden Gate Park. Yeah. No, you're not. Like I noticed that too because of how close they were. They should have. If they didn't hit it, just them flying past as close as they were should have like had some sort of wave effect.
I mean,
blown them off.
Speaking of that park. That is a populated area. Nobody walked into the invisible ship.
Nobody questioned the smashed trash can that was laying there. And
nobody questioned this. Nobody.
You saw the garbage men see it and then like, nope, we're out.
Now here's the thing. Here's two things. One, it's San Francisco. All right, a lot of people who do some illegal substances that they might just be part of their bad trip. Two, if this was placed in New York, definitely no one would notice because it's just how much crazy stuff happens in New York. They'll just be like, oh, it's part of the culture there. So
yeah, I did like how I know California, but specifically like Los Angeles and stuff, had a very New York vibe in the 80s. Like it was very much like punk in the jungle and all that stuff. But this was San Francisco, which is like yuppie town area. So I found it funny that that still like was trying to exist. But also it was San Francisco, and this ship lands on the ground and creates like a concave into the ground. Like yeah. Was that, what was the,
yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. That ground is not saturated. It's not like it's drier than dog shit. Like there's no fucking way that it would have just created a crater like that in that ground. I just,
does it? Oh yeah. No, it doesn't rain really.
No, it never really like rains like four times a year. If that.
Yeah.
I mean, when they get rain, they get it. And then it floods, and then they're like panicking.
Maybe it was just after a rainfall.
We don't know. Actually, it's probably just the fact that the ship weighs so much that it just crushed the ground underneath it flat.
But then would it not just crush anything anytime they landed?
Well, in the future, they have special spots to land it on that can handle the weight.
Not when they go to other planets. Chris, true. Don't they go to all, like, and just land wherever the fuck they want because they have carp launch? Or whatever.
Yeah, but it's not a park.
Yeah, sometimes okay. They do. I can't say it's. Yeah, sometimes they do. It's Captain Kirk. He does what he wants.
Yeah, he lands his ship wherever he can find port.
Yeah.
that's an innuendo.
Like a whale.
No, that was in its endo that he was trying to go.
Anyway,
my only other note is that they were able to reconstruct a brand new Enterprise in what? 4 days,
something like that.
Because there's not a time lapse between.
Well, we don't know how long it was because Spock's dad was able to get from Vulcan to Earth, which who knows how long that actually takes. A couple days there. I don't know. I'm gonna say
a regardless. Week. But in the first movie when they were re-outfitting the Enterprise. Or was that the second movie? Whichever movie where they were rebuilding.
First one.
And he's like, yeah, it's been like months and months that they've been working on this.
Hmm.
And now it's just like 4 days and you've got a whole new
ship. It's the Enterprise, what, 1701A or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, they were building a second ship because they knew once Kirk took command of the other one, they're like, oh, he's going to fuck this up. We should probably make a new one right now. It's like making the second Death Star while you're building the first Death Star.
That's it's what I call the contact theory of method at that point.
Yes, there we go.
Why build one when you could build two for twice the price?
On the opposite side of the planet with nobody knowing. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. And have it draw the power from the sun, which also then somehow destroys the sun in the process.
He just wants to hold it in the palm of his hand.
But also, did they put the NC-17 warning on there because of Kirk?
Maybe. Yeah, so that's all I got. That's all you got.
That was my last note, yeah.
Either one, Chris, Chuck, you guys got anything else?
No, the only other thing I noticed was that Shatner was clearly... like his fragile masculinity was really setting in because he like dyes his hair and he tries to look younger in this.
I mean, he's been wearing a girdle since the first one, hasn't he?
Yeah, I know, but like
at least the second one.
Specifically his hair was like a darker color than what it was. Like he was trying to like hide the fact that he was aging so much.
Yeah.
In this, and that just really made me laugh. You could also tell that there clearly was some animosity between Kirk and between Shatner and Nimoy in this, because every scene that they do together just has this like weird tension that I think is like real. Like I think that was a shoot. I think they were actually like hating.
It's because they used to be friends, and now that Spock has been rebooted, they don't get along as well together.
Well, he's referring more to,
I know,
the actors.
That, I'm just saying that,
which that's... honestly is probably due to Shatner wanting more money.
Well, they all wanted more money.
They all want more money, but obviously, if you don't have one, you're not going to have the rest of them. You know,
especially it'd be interesting to make this whole movie without Kirk. Just saying, what happened to Kirk? Oh, I got left on Vulcan. You know, where Savick decided to, yeah, I'm going to stay here. Yeah, because you're,
yeah,
or not even that. They could
you have Spock's baby. We're not going to acknowledge that.
Yeah, exactly.
They could have honestly just been like, oh, well, we had to hand him over to the Klingons.
I mean, they could have. I know nowadays, and that's really more so in, like, say, a TV show season more than movies. But you have, like, a main cast member for that season, and then they don't come back. It's like, oh, yeah, he had to go do this. They give some excuse why that main character is not going to be in the show anymore. Movie wise, you know, sometimes they just recast them. You know, they're here, deal with it.
Are we talking about like, yeah.
Yeah, like Rhodey and,
yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Rhodey.
Yeah. That was probably the best way that a recast has been handled. Now, I mean, it's been done numerous times before and they don't ever acknowledge it.
Which, the Mummy 3.
Like I said, they don't ever acknowledge it.
No, they quasi acknowledge it when it shows, like when she's first showing up on the screen.
Oh,
but
I haven't seen that one. I've only seen that one once.
Says, she says something about people don't always appear as you expect them to, or something, and then it shows her face.
Okay.
Anyways,
well, I mean, we'll get to it at some point. So
we're gonna get there. Yeah, I'm very excited.
I'm excited about that too.
Okay. So, yeah, kill count. One, and it's only because they re-showed the Klingons dying in the Enterprise at the beginning.
Did you just not want to say zero?
Oh, we've had zero before.
But have we ever had this happen before, where they re-show a clip from a previous movie of a death?
I feel like during RoboCop, we've had it. Yeah, I know we've had it before. Yeah. It was just a question if I actually counted or not, which those were bigger numbers, so I couldn't remember if I did or not.
Stay tuned for Undiscovered Country. You're going to see reused footage again of the not of this, but of other things, because Star Trek infamous for reusing stuff.
Yeah,
Love that for us.
Not as bad as Robin Hood.
Yeah, any limb counts?
Zero limbs. We're lost. Got nothing. So.
I did like when McCoy got really his whole big scene in the hospital. That was pure genius on his part.
That lady that he's like, here's this, take this and call me in the morning. Doc regrew my kidney. Like I laughed at that. That was
dialysis.
Fun.
What are we like in the dark ages or something?
There was a moment when I was watching this where I felt like if I was going to relate this to, like, oh, this is like today's like current events, that like Kirk was Trump, Spock was Elon
Vance.
Musk.
Oh.
And then the all of us were just Bones, just being like, what is happening? What are we doing here? Why is this continuing? Why are we letting you guys make decisions? Like, that's what it just felt like in the first like part of that movie. I think growing up and becoming an adult is kind of understanding why Bones hates everybody so much. But also, he's weirdly racist to Spock, which is also super weird.
I wouldn't say racist, but he definitely does like dogs on him more than he probably should.
He hates that dude. He hates that dude.
I mean, he has used slurs against him before, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like he hates him because of his like, essentially he's a myth of being this like alien dude. He just doesn't like him. He regularly calls him a green blood or whatever and stuff. Like, it's weird. He makes it weirdly racial for no reason.
You know what? Like, you're not wrong. I guess I never really thought about it that way.
Listen, Chuck, they had to make him relatable to people in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, okay?
One thing we forgot to mention was the very end when the whole crew gets sentenced, and once again, because Kirk saved the Union or the everything, he gets let off with a slap on the wrist.
He got demoted.
How like life.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he got demoted, which is what he actually wanted.
Yeah, so he can actually
capture the ship. And gets gets to command an entirely new ship because again, how like life.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So what if he's actually like the smartest mastermind in this show and he's been making everything like go to his plan because his plan was to get the ship in the first place. Like maybe he is a super genius and he just pretends to be a horny bastard.
No, that's when you start seeing that scene from The Usual Suspects where the guy's looking at the all the stuff on the cork board and saying, like, oh my God, I figured it all out and it's too late.
Yep. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I was watching like this happening. Like it was like, and it was like Kirk already knew that he was like probably it was like, well, we saved him, so they're just gonna like write us off because he was like so willing to go back and do all the, you know, and face the trial and stuff.
It's the honorable thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, he wants to do the honorable shit. Meanwhile, you sabotage the Kobayashi Maru. You sabotage the Kobayashi Maru. You son of a bitch. Like, don't even start with this honorable nonsense, okay? And like, I was there on the treadmill after I've already fallen off, and I'm like, I get to this
only
scene,
once,
and I and I literally said, They're just gonna fucking let him off. I'm about to get so fucking mad. And I was right. And I got so fucking mad. I was like, of course the privileged white old man gets like no punishment for the bullshit. He like it completely like voids the bullshit. You have to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point of this Federation and shit? Is to like hold people accountable when they do bad things so we can have peace. Where's the 10 lashes? I want to watch Starship Troopers. Give me the 10 lashes.
I got to check the list to see where we're at on that one. But anyway, while I'm doing that, Ron, what do we got for a bingo?
We've got government interference, comic logic, ID reveal to a love interest, ID reveal to an enemy, actor plays himself, animal cruelty, unexplainable science, product placement, and misogyny.
Unexplainable science, that's basically all of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And misogyny. Yeah. Oh.
That too.
Yeah. It was funny watching this in the lens of 2025 and them like talking about like, oh, the rehabilitation of like the animals and stuff like that. When like we know nowadays that like the rehabilitation stuff actually isn't that great, like it is not actually good for the animals and that they can't just set them. It wasn't that they, because I think her excuse of like putting like letting them go was that they would just get hunted anyway.
Yes. Was, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact of the matter is no, they become so essentially domesticated that they don't know how to survive in the wild and they typically get eaten by predators. That's
or
why
they just die. Like,
right. So they, because they never learned how to, especially if you get them young, then they don't learn how to hunt for themselves and, you know, learn survival tactics that they need to learn by their parents at a young age. So like rehabilitation stuff now has to like, essentially they just need to keep the animal forever in rehabilitation. Otherwise they like won't survive when they go into it. So it was just funny watching them being like, yeah, we're going to throw them out there, but they'll probably get hunted still. It's like, no, you fucked them up from the start. Mother from Seventh Heaven.
Mother from Chucky.
Mother from Chucky. Who also cared about her kid. Cared about this kid. Also was kind of weird that she considered them her child. I'm always weirded out by people who think their animals are their kids.
They're fur babies.
What are you talking about? The cats are my babies. I feed
but you
them,
also,
I take care of them.
But you also have children, so it's like different. Like,
Chuck, you also gotta say that some people don't want to have kids.
Listen, I don't disagree, but like you just, but then you make it weird when you like buy them costumes and you post about how you deserve a gift on Mother's Day because you have a cat.
That's
fucking weird.
Okay.
All right, you are specifically talking about somebody. Who is this person, Chuck, and which ex is it?
First off, it's my mother. Second off, Second off, it is also one of my exes. Third off,
your
it's
mom
also
is
like,
one of your exes?
No, my mom is one. One of my very specific, it does specifically apply to one of my exes. And also, I don't know, every white conservative 40-year-old who can't find a man to put a child inside of her. You know what I mean? At least in New York. I don't know what goes on in Illinois or whatever, but...
Yeah, neither do we.
But maybe Chris lives in Illinois.
He does not.
No, I don't.
Oh. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. And the hoozle. So, Spawncape.
Spawncape.
Oh, Spawncape. Look, this looks like trash as per usual. Yeah. It was... I thought the mosaics were interesting. I don't know. The whales looked weird in the tanks when they were on the ship. Like, that looked weird. It almost seemed like a downgrade. It was like they had to pay more for the actors, so therefore their budget for special effects was smaller or something. Like, I thought the ship looked bad when it was flying the alien whale ship and stuff. I'm going to say, like, 3 out of, I don't know, the 42.
That's the opposite, Chuck. That means it's better.
No, 3 and 42 are pretty close together. In the grand scale of like 1 to like a gajillion or whatever?
I guess by that logic, sure.
Yeah.
Oh. You are no Vulcan. That's all I have to say.
Why are you poking logic? What are we, episode 178? Like, we're poking logic into this now? It's never made sense, Ron.
145.
No, I just, but a lot of the times you forget and you flip them back and forth. I was just making sure that you knew that you did them on the wrong.
I stand by this one. I stand by this one. For Chris, I'm going to stand by this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. First for
me. All right. Chris, not a Muppet. You said you had something before we started recording.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Spock, just for him having to interact and do the nerve pinch on the guy,
which was the worst nerve pinch I've ever seen. Like, yeah. he does is like touches him with like full open hand, just like.
But then him jumping into the water, and the water could be a Muppet too with the Muppet whales, you know.
I like that.
My not a Muppet was Chekhov, because. Watching him, you know, get chased by Muppets would have been hilarious. And then the Muppet doctors right. working on him.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, those are both good.
Chuck? I mean, I got it. For me, look, it's always going to resort to which one's going to fuck the Muppet. So it's going to be Kirk, because he's going to fuck the whale Muppet. Like, it's like it's right there.
Like, you just walk in and he's got the hand hole, like, oh.
Yeah.
My
question is, are they still whale sized Muppets, or do they like scale themselves down? Would they be like
tiny,
the size?
Yeah,
would
Muppet,
they be like, yeah.
Yeah,
like a normal, like a, like,
well,
a Muppet sized Muppet?
You know, if you got like Big Bird and Snuffleupagus, like, they have people
sized
Muppets.
Human size. They were still human size.
Yeah, but they're still Muppets, technically.
Yeah, I know, but like a whale is bigger than Big Bird.
But what I'm saying is they could make one whale size. They could also make one human size. That way, or I mean, even making it just regular puppet size.
I do feel like it would be pretty on brand if they had one whale puppet made and they just kept reshooting that footage and then also green screened like the same footage on top of the same footage to make it look like there were two whales.
They make the hand puppet sized whale Muppet, right? And then they green screen that behind them to where it looks like a whole ass.
I like that one too.
They have one Muppet. But the green screen shots are just regular whales because they weren't going. So it's just like, but they're like, wow, look at this technology that we have. Whoa.
I like the idea of the cop that Chekhov and Uhura run up to not being a Muppet, only because he's just staring at them, wondering why these Muppets want nuclear weapons.
Who apparently was an actual cop, was not a paid actor, and it has come up to him, and that is genuine reaction.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
I love the idea that they probably didn't have permits to shoot that.
Yeah, that probably too.
Yeah, I also would love to watch him try to process, why is this Russian asking me where the missiles are?
Need to look for nuclear vessels. What?
I love it.
Oh, man, that's great.
All right, that brings us to our score. So, Chris, out of 10, what do you give this?
Give it a 6.
6. All righty.
I appreciate it, but I like my Star Trek with a little more action.
Yeah.
With all that whale fucking, though, didn't get you going, Chris? That's weird.
Not my tempo. Not my tempo. I'm not here to shame anyone in what they do with their lives.
I am. Don't fuck animals, you sick fucks.
That makes one of us. Okay. Is this a Star Trek movie? Yeah, sure. Why not? It seems like these are all designed to essentially just be stretched out episodes where they get to like do more or whatever. So I will say this. I enjoyed this one more than I've enjoyed any of the other ones so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the humor helped a little bit or something. I'm not really sure.
The lighter tone.
Yeah, and I think Nimoy actually did a good job in all of the roles that he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't hate this, but it was like I was indifferent about it. I just knew I had to watch it, and I was going to sit and watch it. I still find Kirk to be the worst character. I'm finding Shatner to be the worst actor that we've experienced anywhere on this show yet. In the show. I would have liked more of the other characters. I feel like we're not getting a lot of like Chekhov and Bones and Scotty and Uhura. Like, we're not getting any of them without having to have like Kirk or Spock specifically. Like, we got little taste of it here, but like they were like total of like what, maybe 40 minutes of the movie collectively.
They weren't there.
Yeah, and it would have been cool to like get more of that, because I genuinely think I'm going to enjoy those characters better. I don't know. 3.81. I'm never gonna watch this again, but I'm also not gonna put it like, it's not passing the Gennaro continuum. I'm not gonna subject this to my friends to even to make fun of at a holiday party. But I didn't hate it as much as I hated everything else I've been watching so far.
Sure.
I won't even give you a strike, Joey.
I greatly appreciate that. No
strikes this week. No strike this week. It wasn't that bad.
I greatly appreciate that, because the next like three are very questionable.
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
Well, questionable in my eyes, because I've never seen them. So we'll see. Ron, what do you got?
All right. So was this better than the past three? Yes. This has probably been the best one that we've watched so far, which, again, like I said at the beginning, is a very low bar to beat. So it's not like it's leaping any hurdles here or anything. Would I watch it again? No, probably not. Would I recommend it to people to watch? Depends on how much I dislike them. But okay. It also wasn't as bad as the other ones. And there were some parts that were entertaining. And I am going to give it a 3.45.
All right. Okay, that leaves me. And I agree. Like, this, I had a little more fun with this one than the last. But, well, definitely more than the first one. Definitely more than the last one. I think for me, like I said when we watched Wrath of Khan, like, I remember Wrath of Khan a lot. I remember Search for Spock a lot. I remember Voyage Home a lot. The three of these movies together are ones that I've seen a lot when I was younger. And it you know, watching this time again, watching it with new eyes and actually like trying to study it, it was, I did have fun with it. It was entertaining. Like I said earlier, I felt like the storyline was better and the acting wasn't great, but like the story, I actually understood what they were trying to do for the most part. Like a lot of it was still like the whole time travel thing is wonky, but similar to what you had complained about, Ron, in episode two or part two, about a storyline from the show that we didn't have, wasn't given a lot of context here. Their version or their way of time traveling is just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna time travel because we know how. It wasn't fully explained, and that was kind of sucked. Either way though, I still enjoyed it. Like I said, not as much as I did Wrath of Khan, but more than Search for Spock. So I'm giving it a 5.34, which gives us a combined score of 4.65, which ties it at number 97 out of 145 movies. Ties it with Ultimate Avengers the movie from 2006, the animated movie, which is still just behind the Punisher from 1989 at a 4.68.
I'd probably watch that before.
That's because it's over it. So yes,
you. Oh, will. I thought you said just behind. I think
no,
said
just above. Just behind it. Well, it's just behind Punisher. Yes, oh, okay, but it's just above Masters of the Universe at a 4.63.
Oh, that's a tough call.
So yeah, what you're saying is that it's in a good spot.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
If I'm gonna apply the Gennaro continuum to this, I'm putting on Masters of the Universe to make fun of it with my friends.
That's got more make fun of ability. Is that the word? I don't know. It's easier to make fun of Masters than it is this.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it's good stuff.
So yeah, that's all we got.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, where can they find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on all the interwebs at Chris Balga. I got lovely show Marvel Alliance and the Geek Ultimate Alliance Network. You can catch every Thursday night at 9:10 Eastern Standard Time live on the Geek First Podcast YouTube channel, or you can just simply search for Marvel Alliance on your podcatchers of choice. And then on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, check me out on the Brave and the Boys channel, where we do the Organic Price Books Weekly Buyer's Guide.
I dare say the Geek Ultimate Alliance is putting out, if I could use a correct scientific term, a copious amount of content.
We do.
Like there's so much to consume over there, so head over there and check them out. You can of course find me Kicked Out of the Hood, Noe and Kicked on social media. You can find my hobby page where I'm painting miniatures at Kicked Out of the Hobby, Noe and Kicked. And of course you can find me at the end of the month with Joey, where we're doing Getting Franchised, our once a month review show of the latest and greatest franchises and movies and potentially other stuff. But we have been ripping through a horror corner. I forgot that's what we called it.
Yeah.
Every month we're reviewing the latest and greatest of horror movie franchises. We are set to release
The fourth one will be coming out by the time this episode drops. The fourth episode, which I can't remember what we covered, will be coming out in 2 days. What did we? The fourth one was
Candyman.
Ah, yes,
yeah. So the original 92, and then the
2021.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
it got released during COVID. So
yeah.
Spoilers: we liked one better than the other.
I don't think it's a spoiler anymore.
Tune in to find out.
Yeah.
Well, the spoiler is which one was it? I don't know if I can tell you.
Yeah.
But if you don't tell us, then it's not a spoiler.
Rod, where the fuck can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at Good at This Game on Instagram and TikTok and Blue Sky. You can find my art on Instagram at Good Art This Game. And you can also find my Instagram on our shirts on TeePublic and Redbubble.
Yes, but also find your art on your shirt, you mean? Not Instagram on our shirt?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Look, words are hard. I was trying to give Chuck something to give me shit about, but you ruined it.
Way to go. Yeah, I gave you shit for it. Sorry.
Yeah, because I'm a because I love you, Ron. All right.
I love you too.
I'm not gonna let your dyslexia to be made fun of. Okay.
Listen, if I don't correct you, other people will make fun of you, Chuck. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help.
Thanks.
At least I didn't bring up your dad.
Okay. You know who did though?
You.
Me. I did. I'm my own worst enemy.
Look, somebody had to bring him up, right?
Well, he's not going to surface himself, that's for sure. Anyway. Joe, where can they find you?
Find the show on...
I swear it's social. Chris. Like, there's something about Chris that just brings out the worst in us, and I can't figure it out.
Hey, look, at least your dad has more of a chance of surfacing than Joey and I's do.
That is... You know what? That's super fair. Good point.
Mike could surface. He's sitting on a shelf somewhere.
I guess, yeah, it's true. Mine is also.
Yeah.
That way we didn't have to worry about him coming back during the zombie apocalypse, thus having to take that heart-wrenching second to be like, Dad, and then getting bit. We can just shoot all the zombies because no, it's not going to be it. Oh.
Anyway, you guys can find the show on social media, all the socials. Eventually, I might start posting on there again. Who knows? You can email us, comicrundown@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. If you do, we'll read it on an upcoming episode. We've got merch, like Ron said, over at Redbubble and TeePublic. Also, along with getting franchised at the end of the month, every last Sunday of the month, Comic Book Rundown is back at the every Friday, the final Friday of the month. I think this month... What am I doing this month? I don't know what I'm doing this month. Maybe a Marvel movie. Marvel... No, actually it'd be a DC one. Whatever. I'm doing something. And then our song was done by Cam, formerly known as the Father Doctor.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, there you got it. That's true. Ooh, our next movie. Okay.
Oh God.
Like I said, this is one I've never seen. Don't know if Chuck, I feel like you might, maybe Ron might have seen this, but probably not. It's a movie called Black Scorpion.
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Oh, I know. Wait. I know this movie. Why do I know this movie?
I don't know why you know this movie. There was a TV series. I think this was a made-for-TV movie. There's two of them, so we're hitting the first one now. I think the second one will hit.
Is it a girl in like a dominatrix suit with a mask?
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah!
Wait a second,
Ron, get ready. Ron, get super hyped.
Wait. Didn't Chuck? Didn't you just send us something that had to do with
that? Yes, I did. Yes. You?
Okay.
Yes, I believe I sent a screenshot. I said, holy shit, we have to watch this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Then yes, that's it. That's what we're watching.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, this actually might bring you back a strike, Joey.
But I've got no strikes.
He might.
I have no good. Strikes.
It's not good. It's not good. I don't. No. It's going to be bad. Yeah.
But
no.
We have fun with the bad ones. So.
Oh, you're getting a strike for sure.
Oh, damn it.
I'm super hyped about it. Like...
That you're confusing me, Chuck. I don't know how to feel.
I know. It's okay. It's all on how you waste my time, Joe.
That's fair.
That's
fair. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Chris, thank you for showing up. We really appreciate this.
As always.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Later.
And Chris, too. It's time for Scoop-a-Day.